You ready, Jerry?
I'm ready.
Just want to make sure you're ready, brother.
Show me the money.
Oh, you didn't know?
Every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling.
You put my shoes on, you wouldn't last a mile.
Summertime, wintertime, I'm on the grind.
I got the ring, I'm the champ, I'm the genie of the lamp.
This is the gift I was given, so I just live by my hustle.
Make money, make money, money, money.
You're all out here for a pill.
Ain't nobody
trying to get this money for a real.
I want to find a thing to save my life. So I hustle, hustle.
It ain't over for me. No, it ain't over for me.
Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talk.
Here comes the money.
Okay, let's go smoke that joint.
What up, what up? We got another IDP video for you IDP savants. We're breaking down the defensive linemen in this video. We're going to try to get through 20 of them, and we got some good info for you, that's for sure. And, of course, we got Jordan from the IDP Army in the house. What up, bro?
What up, what up? How you guys doing today? Hope everybody is ready to start getting in some drafts, ready to start, you know, the hibernation mode is over. We're a month removed from the Super Bowl, so it's time to get cracking. I'm ready.
Oh, yeah. Free agency just a couple days away. We already see some stuff happening. Shout out to Crispy and Stranger, Johnny. Salute to Derek. Cody Power in the house, TJ in the house. What up, guys? Any questions, just make sure you throw them in the comments. And in between players and stuff, we'll be sure to answer them. And, yeah, defensive linemen, they kind of suck. They're kind of like the tight ends of offense, where a lot of times if you don't have one of the top guys, and a lot of people, I think, we just don't even want the top guys, like, more often than not, usually just end up streaming. And when we get through this list, we're going to be reminded about why you don't have to take defensive linemen early. That's not always a strategy that makes you win, that's for sure, because you're going to see a lot of names on this list that weren't drafted as the cream of the crop, you know, guys. Let's just jump into it. So yeah. The first guy on the list, whoo, Mr. Van Ginkle. Like, he was someone who, I mean, we talked about him during the defensive or the linebacker video. If you're on Sleeper, he doubles as a linebacker and a defensive lineman. If you were smart, you had him in as a D-line. You drafted him super, super late. He finishes as the number one DL. And a lot of it was his tackles, 79 total tackles, had 11 and a half sacks. So he'll be one of the lower guys on this list, like sack-wise at the top.
Yeah, sack-wise, only 11 and a half. But like you said, he buoyed his score by having a super high tackle number for a defensive line player, 79. I mean, that's close to an off-ball linebacker 2-type number. And on top of that, you know, even so, he buoyed his sack numbers with that. But on top of that, he had multiple interceptions this year. He had 2 touchdowns this year, 2 forced fumbles as well. So he really kind of did everything this season. It wasn't like he was a one-trick pony, you know, just getting a bunch of tackles, but that, you know, and just sprinkling in here and there. He was really, really busy, prolifically making impact plays. So that definitely buoyed with the solid sack numbers and then the super, super nice tackle numbers he had.
And I'm in one startup right now, and I'm going to go see where I got him, because, of course, I got him. I mean, I got him, like, super late, though, or at least I feel like it was super late. Let's go see.
He's somebody that I've been was talking about as a sleeper in Dynasty probably 3-4 seasons ago, maybe even 5, you know. So it's awesome to see him just continue to not only ascend, but, I mean, be the number one defensive line player this season. Just shows 29 years old. Some guys take a little time to get off the ground, but kudos to him.
Yeah, I got him in the 21st round, you know, so no matter what, just seems like good value. And, yeah, he's going to be with the Vikings at least for one more year for sure. So for 2025, I feel real confident about his game. He's 29. I mean, he had his best year of his career just this past year, and it was the first year that he was a starter. But I don't know. We saw shades of in Miami, like of him, like when Phillips got hurt, and we saw how good he could be as a starter. He just needed to start every game. Hell yeah. Derek said Van Ginks is Huss's boy. Hell yeah. Johnny Sir Van Ginks a lot. Yes, sir. Hey, what up, Song? What's going down, bro? Number two on the list, someone also who is not drafted very high. I mean, there's a lot of love and a lot of hate for Trey Hendrickson, and he finishes as the number two defensive lineman, 282, and 17 and a half sacks. That's really where he made all of his money.
Yeah, 17 and a half this season and 17 and a half last season. Yep. So that's some high-end consistency. Led the NFC North both – is that the NFC North, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, AFC, he led AFC, them, AFC and North. That's a division that has Watt and Myles Garrett in it. So each of the last two seasons, he has had the most sacks in not only against toughest competitors in the league, but they're also his neighbors. So, yeah, I was actually just going to say he got permission from the Bengals today to seek a trade, and I saw the Bears were interested and the Commanders were interested, which, I mean, I guess kind of makes sense. But I would really like to see him stay with the Bengals somehow, honestly.
Yeah. I think it's them just drafting defensive linemen, right? And, you know, guys like Murphy, and just seems like, you know, him being 30, maybe he just knows that he's on the way out soon, wants fresh some fresh scenery. But, yeah, Bengals definitely underperformed last year as a team. I mean, they were still in it, like, kind of, like, towards the end, but yeah, they took some big losses. Let's see. And with him being 30, I mean, I'm not drafting him anywhere high. I feel like you don't have to for Dynasty, though. Like, you start getting in the 28, 29 range, like, nobody wants to draft you high either way. But these are the kind of guys that I would load up on late, try to get, like, four or five of them, you know, on your roster. If you got a deep roster, maybe you need to start two. I mean, all of our Dynasties, we have it where you got to start two D-line, and then you got three IDP players. I would always be trying to put in linebackers in those flex spots if you're playing IDP 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. Well, like you said with him too, last year you didn't have to draft him super high. So you got 17 and a half sacks pretty cheap, you know, so it's going to be hard to want to pay up for it. Like you said, at 30 years old this year, it's going to be a lot different, you know, drafting him this year than last year cost wise. And odds are he's had two of his better seasons already back-to-back. You know, there's a good chance we could see a dip in production.
Yeah, especially if he goes to a different team. Who knows how that affects his sack numbers? Just depends on where he goes. And we don't really have to say much about TJ Watt. Like, no matter how good or bad he does, he's still going to be drafted as a top-end guy. And if you want him on your team, you got to go get him. I feel like he had a down year, but he's still D lineman number three. And so if you're drafting him as a DL, and that's where you're throwing them in, you know, I feel like no matter what, you're not really going to fail. But if you're thinking of him as a linebacker and being top end IDP, I just feel like he's not that guy anymore.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, this is the first year where he kind of took a backseat as far as overall production. Still had a great season. You know, just for him, it was and does feel a little bit down. Like, look at some of those single digit games are not what you're used to from TJ Watt. You know, you can see right there in 2023, he was fully healthy. And in 2021, he was fully healthy. He scored 100 more points in each of those seasons versus this season where he was also fully healthy. So, I mean, that's a pretty substantial dip, but like you said, it's still good enough to be DL3. So, you know, I don't really know where I would be drafting him right now. Probably still pretty high just because I am a Steelers fan. But I think that, you know, the legendary sort of run, I mean, these things, they do taper off. You know, the end eventually shows up. I'm not expecting him to take a huge back seat, but I don't, you know, those good seasons, some of them are in the rearview mirror now, you know, so you can't bank those.
And teams will just sell out to block him. You know, they'll have like a tight end chip him, and then he'll get a double team, and then there's still a running back there, like, just in case. So it's like he's got to run through literal brick walls to like get there. And there were so many like almost sacks where it was like holding or like whatever, you know, and just, you know, didn't happen because he got held or whatever. And so I'm looking at the startup that I'm in right now, and he got drafted at the 12-10. So what do you think about that kind of value for him?
That seems like a good spot. You know, I feel like a few years ago I was taking him in the 7-8 area, maybe 9, you know. So it, that kind of makes sense, you know, per every year, you know, he's going to drop a little bit more just because of the age factor. And this being his first sort of down year, it also makes sense that he would be a little easier to obtain a little later. Honestly, at that spot, if I have a good starting lineup on offense and I do want to go DL first, again, I'm biased because I am a TJ Watt fan. I would still feel comfortable taking him as my DL1 because I think you're going to be able to lock him in for at least 2 more years of pretty good production, elite type production. And we have seen some of these DLs age out real, real nice. So, you know, I'm a little worried about his body. You know, we just saw Joey Bosa get released today as well as like yesterday. But, you know, TJ Watt does, you know, he plays a little hurt sometimes. He doesn't miss a lot of games unless he has to, but he plays through injuries. So those things pile up. So, but yeah, kudos to him. And he'll still be probably for me in a top five this upcoming year pretty easily. Again, I'm a Steelers fan though, so I can't fade him too much.
And the only guy that was – so he was the second IDP guy off the board. So that's how I like it. When, you know, people aren't getting, like, extra crazy with the IDPs, just push them off, then I'll be able to get, like, a lot of guys that value. Only guy who went above him was Zaire Franklin, and he went the 10-12. So
people that sounds totally reasonable for both those guys, honestly.
Yeah, because neither one of them are spring chickens.
No, neither are we.
Yeah, and how about Myles Garrett? You know, spring chicken himself, 29 years old, says he's sticking with the Browns, right? Like he's not really seeking a trade or anything. 14 sacks this past year, 14 the year before, 16 the year before that. He's always super consistent, like enough to be top 5, and I feel like you almost got to draft him higher than 5 to be able to get him.
Yeah, he's kind of, at this point in Dynasty, the real thing he has going for him, like you said, is the consistency. He never really has a bad year. He hasn't had a 370-point year like Watt, but you can see right there on screen, 260, 250, 273. I mean, he's going to be a DL1. I wouldn't take him as the DL1, but like you said, for consistency purposes, a set-and-forget player. He's also a guy that doesn't miss a lot of time with injury, actually. You know, you can't knock him for that either. 29, I think you can still build around somebody like this. This is probably the last year that him, Watt, you know, Max Crosby, those type of guys who are getting a little older will probably be startup draft build-around guys. Maybe next year they'll probably start being that second tier. But, yeah, I will still, you know, especially if they drop it all this year, scoop them up.
Yeah, he was drafted in the 13th round in this startup, so just right behind TJ Watt.
Yeah.
And those top-end D linemen, they kind of don't really exist. So, I mean, those guys, at least, you kind of know that without injury, they're going to finish somewhere in the top 5. So it seems like a good return on investment for that pick. Nick Benito, we talked about him in the linebacker video. And another guy who, I mean, 13.5 sacks, so... You know, him and Van Ginkle kind of a little bit of the same boat. He had an interception, you know, fumble recovery, around 50 tackles. I feel like he could duplicate that.
Yeah, he had, what did he have, 16, I think, tackles for loss, which that's pretty dang good, you know, and 9 or 4 pass deflections as well. So those are the kind of metrics on top of the sacks that I kind of look at. I like him a lot, you know, kind of came out of nowhere for me. I wasn't like on him. I remember like being a, like more like as a sleeper kind of guy, like maybe something's here. But I didn't expect him to come out this season or the Broncos in general to just kind of swing in that upward trajectory across the board. But yeah, a big part of that was Benito's performance on the field.
Yeah, and look at Johnny. He's over in Denver, and he said Benito came out of nowhere. Everyone thought it was going to be Baron Browning, was going to be the dude. And, yeah, and even, like, if you just look at his points, I mean, after those first 2 weeks, which, I mean, he only had 23 snaps in the first week. So I can't remember if someone got hurt or something to where he came into 41 snaps the next week after that. But he's still not a lot of points. But then he just double-digit points, like, for, like, 6 weeks in a row. So definitely someone who I remember talking about, like on the waiver wire videos, because if you can pick up somebody who's just getting at least 10 points at the DL spot, like that's like a really good free agent. Because there's a lot of just flaky defensive linemen. That's why I've always said I don't like drafting them high. And guy like Nick Benito, dynasty, redraft, like whatever, like he was a waiver wire guy.
Yeah, well, and like you said, you know, it is tough to justify drafting those guys we talked about a little ahead, because they are very much, they're a little more boom or bust, you know, like why? Like I was pointing out, a lot of single digit games. Look, Benito over, you know, you get some nice games in there, but you're getting some single, you know, up and down. Benito, I mean, consistency wise, double digit points, I mean, almost every single week. I think I see 4 weeks in there where he had single digits.
Yeah,
some of those are really high, but you know, even his lower games are double digits, 13, 14 points. That's set and forget, you know. And like you said, it may be not, and that's a waiver wire guy. You know, you had to be in tune to the waiver wire. You had to be paying attention. But yeah, like consistency wise, you were able to just put him in there and every week ride with him, you know, and you could almost count on, which is rare as a DL position, but count on double digits. There was another guy who's going to be up on this list, Cam Hayward, who kind of did the same thing for me. I picked him up on waivers in a league, and it was just like easy money. It wasn't like super flashy, but it was like 12 points, lock it in. And that'll win you leagues.
Yep. If you picked up Benito before week 10, you went on this run, 17, 29, 20, 30. They had their bye week, 26, and week 15. Then he kind of fell off for week 16 and 17, so that kind of sucked. But he was on fire for a handful of weeks leading up to the playoffs. Jonathan Grenard, someone who we touched on in the linebacker video. For DL purposes, finishes right around top five. He had 12 sacks, had close to 60 tackles as well. And I feel like the high tackle guys, I mean, those are the guys who are going to be consistent. The guys who are super high in the sacks, like unless you're getting close to 20, you're going to have some off games. Like we saw it from some of the top guys, and Grenard was really consistent throughout the whole season.
Yeah, I mean, he and Van Ginkle, each of the last 2 years have become super fantasy relevant, and not only become fantasy relevant last year, but continued and ascended again to that next level this year, bringing, you know, high upside and some consistency. You know, Greener, 27, been in the league for a few years, but really coming into his own. I guess that's a lot of that would have to do, or at least some of it would have to do with Brian Flores, you know, yeah, playing an aggressive style and getting these guys, you know, their sacks, you know, especially with Danielle Hunter kind of getting out of the picture there. These guys have really stepped up, and Greenard has, you know, 12 this year, 12 and a half, 24 sacks over the last two seasons, 5 forced fumbles. Those are, I mean, that's good. I mean, that's, he's a good player. And the Vikings, they had a great season this year, and that was, you know, again, in no small part because Grenard was able to sort of take that next step and really develop into a high tackle, edge setting, but also, you know, a good pass rusher, disruptive, 4 forced fumbles.
That's nice. Oh, yeah. And how about Leonard Williams? Man, he had some off games, that's for sure. But he hit the highs as well on a lot of these games. I mean, yeah, look at week 12 and 13. I think back-to-back, like, might have been the top IDP player of the week with 37 and 45 in those 2 weeks. If you played him in the championship week, 32 points. And, yeah, I mean, a lot of it really – I don't even know what it was. Last year wasn't injuries. Like, it was just like being super, super down. I know it was injuries the year before that and probably just being on the Giants. But yeah, this year, 251 points, 11 sacks, 64 tackles. And yeah, I know a lot of tackle for losses in the mix.
Yeah, he got home on a lot of those sacks this year, which he's been close a lot of years past. He's always been disruptive. Quarterback hits stay pretty high. He was just able to cash in on, you know, 5 or 6 more this year than usual. And it paid off big, you know, for fantasy. Like you said, it was a little boom busty, but if you had him in, he was basically the IDP number one player for like 4 weeks of the season. So that's the kind of stuff that swings matchups. Getting a little older now too. But it seems like a lot of these guys we're talking about, which is maybe something to notice, you know, are in that 28 to like 30 range. So that's kind of where these guys really sort of hit that high note.
Yeah, especially when you're going up against some of the best left tackles and right tackles like in the league. Like, you got to really get your craft going and get your technique just super on par. And yeah, literally Grenard, that's the youngest guy we've talked about, 27. Everyone else, 28 through 30. And let's see. And then to another guy right in that mix here. Well, actually, no, 26. Yeah, he's not 27 yet. Pretty sure
he's the youngest guy we've talked about so far.
Yeah. And moving over to Leonard's old team, the Giants. And I feel like everybody on this list is boom busty. Brian Burns, maybe one of the more consistent guys because he had over 70 tackles total, only 8.5 sacks. So, I mean, a lot of points came from his tackles.
Yeah, career high tackles for him. He's been, you know, floating around that 8 to 12 sacks for a few years. Tackles are usually more in like the 50-40 range, but ended up on the Giants this year, and, you know, he ended up being on the field playing defense probably a lot more, you know, and he just upped his tackle game big time this year. I think he had a little chip on his shoulder, maybe something to prove his first year away from the Panthers. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But to see him, you know, take that big of a jump in his tackle numbers, he was either played differently or he had a different mindset, but that's good for IDP, like you said. And youngest guy on here at 26, which is kind of crazy. That feels like it's not feel that 26 doesn't feel super young, but I think he could, you know, I think he could be hitting his stride. Like we just said, all the guys above him, 28, 29, 30. Is that being Brian Burns next year? We're talking about him more as like a 300-point defensive lineman. You know, I don't think that's out of the question.
And we don't have to draft him like really high either because, I mean, he was still a little boom busty. So, yeah, someone who you probably get just somewhere in the teens in your draft. And, I mean, that's not going to be bad. Yeah, 26 years old. He's got a few years of this production, especially if he stays with the Giants. Almost feel like there's nobody that the Giants can get at quarterback who's going to like completely turn this offense around right away. They got so many issues.
Yeah, they've been linked to all kinds of people, but the best sounding person was Kyler Murray. So that
doesn't yeah.
I'm glad people are finally realizing that Kyler Murray is nothing that special.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, there's a lot of quarterbacks in the league that aren't that special. It really depends on the coaching scheme, the play calling, and I've always talked shit about Arizona's like play calling. It's been bad like ever since he's gotten there. Maybe that first year it wasn't that bad, but it was like it never evolved. And I don't know, you could tell like maybe that offense did great in college for like years and years and years, but the NFL adapted to it after 1 year because it was just getting shut down.
Mm-hmm.
So another reason why I don't draft a defensive lineman early, because the guys like Cam Hayward, like, man, 35 years old, had like one of his best seasons, like fantasy wise. I don't know if you would consider it one of his best seasons.
71 tackles, 8 sacks, and he had 11 pass deflections too, which kind of blew my mind when I was looking at that earlier.
Yeah.
I mean, those stack up, but like, you know, free on waiver wires in some dynasty leagues I was in. And, you know, and you could just every week starter, just plug and play. He did have some down weeks, but that's fantasy. I mean, there's every single player that isn't like the number one or two at their position, you're going to get some bad weeks peppered in there. You know what I mean? That's just part of it. But to get a guy that you can start every week off of the waiver wire was incredible for me.
Because I know it was probably like a lot of leagues he wasn't drafted in. Week 1, 6 points. Week 2, 7 points. No one's worried about him. Then he comes out and throws up 18 points in week 3, and then people are like, oh, shit. Okay, we got to go get him. And then if you played him, 19 points in that week, 7 points has a down week, but then 17, 7, 14. Like, I'll take the downs if the downs is, you know, just set 2 7-point games out of, like, 5 games in a row that you may have played him, and then, you know, he's pushing towards 20 in some of those, and then 25, 13, 13, 23, 26, 7, 10, 9. So he sucked during the playoffs, but, I mean, outside of that, like, he carried you to the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I mean, especially in a year where so many big names were kind of just meh. We haven't talked about Micah Parsons yet. You know what I mean? We yeah. haven't talked about Nick Bosa yet. No. You know what I mean? Like, we're you know, Cam Hayward, he's on this. He's ahead of them. So, yeah. you know, it pays to pay attention.
Yeah. And Pam says, great commentary on Brian Burns. I could tell where he was going. I wonder if he'll develop that way. Yeah, I mean, he's been, I mean, on the up and up. I mean, he was already with on the up and up with the Panthers, and then he comes here and, you know, really holds it down. Still had 8 sacks. I mean, that's not getting into double digits, but mixing in the 70 tackles, like, that's nothing to sneeze at for a defensive lineman. Most defensive linemen are like 30s and 40s if you're like the top end guys. What TJ say? Kyler Murray and his baby legs are ruining the Cardinals. It's not I mean, it's not only Kyler. Like, I mean, we could say a part of it's Kyler, but the coaching's just been bad. Like, it really has. The defensive coaching has been, like, really solid. You know, like, that's probably what saved them in a couple games. But, yeah, like, ever since Cliff Kingsbury, like, went downhill, like, they still haven't fixed it, like, since then. And Kingsbury's not even there anymore. Hey, yeah. King D, what up? Shout out to the LBC. Look at that. Giants said was able to scoop up Cam Hayward off waivers right after the draft ended last week. He's literally free. Yeah. Can't beat it. Can't beat it. And to round out the top 10, we're going to try to knock out 20 of these guys. We got Harold Landry. So another guy who had the DL and the LB eligibility and really similar numbers to Brian Burns, 9 sacks, 71 total tackles. If you're treating him like a defensive lineman, I feel like you're going to be able to get him late. The value's there, and I'm still on board even though he's 28.
Yeah, I mean, his thing is the tackle floor has been high for years. You know, yeah. to get 70-ish tackles out of a defensive line consistently is by itself going to be somebody you're going to start at least as a weekly flex. You know, you can lock him in for 8 to 10, 12 sacks. That's somebody you want. Never has any big flashy games. Like, you're never going to get like I guess maybe he had one this season, but I mean, he gets it done. You know, he just kind of quietly putting up, you know, that 3 or 4 points that you needed to squeeze out of somebody else that didn't get it. Oh, good. Like, Harold Landry got his 15. We're going to make it, you know, like, that's kind of the guy that he is.
He only had single digits in 6 games. One of those was week 17, so that sucks. But still, that means at 11 of those games that he's cracking double-digit points. That's really what you need out of these D linemen. I'd rather have the consistency of the guys who, like, rarely go below 10 points than the guys who get, like, 30 points in 1 week and then, like, 5 weeks in a row of, like, single-digit points. Like, I'd rather have the guys who are a little bit more even keel versus these guys who, like, the graph of their points just looks like an insane, like, heart attack.
I don't need you to be a superstar. Just hit your projections. You know what I mean? Just, like, let's get you that 13.95 or whatever Sleeper says you're going to get, and we'll go from there. Don't hit me with no 4-point game.
Exactly. Yeah, it fucks everything up. How about Zach Allen? I had higher hopes for him than DL11. He definitely, like, fell off, like, at a certain point. Because, look, I mean, in the beginning of the season, 9, 18, 14, 14, 22, 25, 10, 9. And maybe he got hurt or something because then it was 0, 19, 7, missed a game, 11, 7, 13, 40 in week 17. I forgot about that. If you had the balls to play him, he could have won you a championship with that 40 points. In week 17, finishes as DL11, 220 points, 8.5 sacks total, 61 total tackles.
64 tackles is a rock solid number, especially for a guy who, you know, missed at least one game this season. The thing that really stood out to me when I was looking at him was only 8.5 sacks, but he had 40 quarterback hits, which was the most in the NFL.
Yeah.
So, you know, that tells me that a few more of those could have easily gone his way. So, you know, you just, you know, add 2 or 3 more sacks onto that pretty reasonably. Again, he had 40 quarterback hits. Like, that's the next highest person was like 36, I think. I think it was Trey Hendrickson. So, and he had 17 sacks. So, just to kind of give you an idea of the conversion right there. So, it's pretty easy to see Allen you know, with two or three more sacks, a couple more tackles for loss, I mean, in those points, shoot him up pretty substantially. So, like you said, it's a little disappointing that he didn't get there because it felt like he was going to get there. But, you know, again, that's the nature of the position at DL. You know, it's ups and downs. The nice thing about him is he's going to be one of these guys that it, his price is not going to go skyrocketing this offseason.
Right.
Like someone like Nick Bonino may or Trey Hendrickson probably will. You're still going to be able to get Zach Allen probably in a startup, you know, around 18, 19, 20 plus, I would imagine. And I could, like you said, I could easily see him out doing 220, which is what he scored this year, next season. And again, it's part of this Denver's team that seems to just be trending the right way for once in a long time.
Yeah, because they've been looking bad for a while, and they had a lot of hidden gems on that squad for this year, and now they're on the map for next year. They're not going to be hidden next year.
Yeah.
Danielle Hunter, like, it's kind of crazy how everyone, like, just moving over to the Texans, like, I don't know, people, like, weren't on him like as much as like before, but I mean, he dropped a little bit in the sack numbers. He dropped tremendously in the tackle numbers. But his value is also like, I don't know, like nothing in startups. I feel like people aren't drafting him high. He's 30 years old now. And I feel like, you know, you said Myles Garrett and TJ Watt, they're kind of going into that like second wave of guys. It's like, he's in that like third wave of guys you can pretty much get for free.
Yeah, the thing that set him back was really the tackle numbers dipping off as much as they did. Still had a, you know, pretty good number of sacks. 12 sacks is, you know, a dozen sacks is great, especially when your first year on a new team, back-to-back double-digit sack seasons as well. You like to see that. I would hopefully we can get a sacks or tackle numbers back up to around, you know, 60, 65. If we could do that, I think we're going to be looking at, you know, a little bit more next season. This is his worst season since 2022. What did he do in 2021? Yeah, this is his worst season since 2021 when he came off of all that weird injury stuff, that like two-year spread there. So,
I
like him with Houston, though. You know, I like that he was able to transition well and still be, you know, an elite pass rusher, get 12 sacks. On a new team, that says a lot.
Let's see who's next up for us. Trayvon Walker. We're that far down the list already. Really quiet season either way. And here's why I hate him. Like, because people were talking shit. Oh, 24 points in week one. And I was like, man, he still sucks. And then, of course, 4, 7, 2, and then 42. Nobody played him during that week. And then 1, 14, 9, 26, 15, 4. It's just all over the place. And then 14 in week 13. And then 7, 5, 8. And then nobody's playing him in week 17. He throws up 16 points. And 214 points total. 10.5 sacks, back-to-back 10 sack seasons. And that's why his value is like way higher than it's ever been. And I'm still laughing at people every time they draft him.
Yeah, it was ugly. You know, even though he got to over 200, it was more often than not, he hurt your team. And the odds are the weeks that he was worth anything, you didn't play him. So I don't know if I trust him rolling into next year just because of the nature of kind of what he's showed me at this point. I do like the consistency of double-digit sacks. I do like 61 tackles. But again, I don't like the huge games and then a month where you completely tank the position. You know what I mean? That's just not cool. So I would rather have somebody like a Harold Landry, you know, give me 12 points every week. Don't give me any 4 or 6s or 2-point games, please. I just can't handle it. So we'll have to see if he's somebody that turns into something more. You know, he is at least trending the right way, but 3 years, he's only just now broken 200 points. 24 years old, so we'll see, you know.
I said it before and I'll say it again.
Save big money right now at Menards. From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Kidde Home Safety Products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Smoke and carbon monoxide detectors are perfect for your living spaces, offering protection and peace of mind. Save big money on all Kidde products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
He was a bomb then, and he's a bomb now.
I just can't get behind it. Just not at all. I gotta stay firm on this stance, that's for sure. And Greg Russo, it's crazy because that 214, like, it, I mean, him and Trayvon, they both got the same thing. And, like, outside, I feel of outside of week 7, 8, 9, and 10, where he had, like, a nice little stretch, feel like it was nothing but inconsistency. I mean, I guess consistent enough in the playoffs, at least double-digit points, but he's really got to step it up. I keep saying, like, every year it feels like it's going to be the year, but I don't know how many years in a row I could say that.
Yeah, I mean, he's good enough to roster. He's not somebody that you can count on to carry your team week to week. But if you needed a flex and a pinch and you just don't have anybody, you know, you could do worse than him. What I do like is it was his best, you know, season of his career. Was a pretty nice little jump from the last two seasons. Career highs, tackle for loss, pretty big jump in his quarterback hits too, which went from the teens to 24. And he played a career high snaps at, which was like 71%, which is pretty good for a defensive line player. But he's still not somebody that he's not somebody that I'm going out and trying to acquire. But you could do worse for, you know, a bench fodder, flex fodder type DL guy.
I feel like I'm not even going to be drafting him unless it's super, super late. But he does go super late now because I don't think anyone's trying to pay for him.
He doesn't do anything crazy. You know what I mean? He doesn't even have like a really signature play from this last season when the Bills were amazing. I mean, he just kind of showed up here and there. But he did enough, you know, in fantasy to, like you said, like 214 points. That's worth paying attention to. Am I excited to start him? No. Am I counting on him? No, but, you know, in that second or third flex spot, you know, week 12, I could do a lot worse than Greg Russo sometimes, you know, so.
Sometimes, right? Yeah.
I could be stuck with Trayvon Walker, you know, I mean, it could be a lot worse.
And look, and that's what's crazy, as bad as Russo is, like, we're just now getting to Nick Bosa. We still didn't even get to Nick Bosa until this, and you look at the points and it's just, yeah, the first like 3 out of 4 weeks, 27, 6, 24, 21, it's like off to a good start, 7, 11, 16, 16, 21, then he gets hurt, and you know, that's three games right there, and then 9, 8, and if you had the balls to start him in week 17, he got 37 in week 17, but there's a lot of weeks that he probably wasn't being started, so I doubt anybody start him in the championship, but I feel like
it was a lot of turmoil for the 49ers in general. It felt like that whole team was just out of whack. You know, I don't know what other way to say it. Nick Bosa did basically what he does in a down year, which was, you know, get a little banged up, but still managed to, you know, have a couple of decent games. But, yeah, those missing those games, hopefully that's not foreboding to things to come. I was looking at Joey Bosa today. You know, first 3 years of his career, you know, people were worried about him. He only missed a handful of games. I think he only missed like 4 games. Yeah. But now the last 3 years of his career, he's missed like 40 or something like that. I mean, it's starting to add up. Or maybe it was 14 out of 40 or something like that. I don't know. He's missed a lot. And it's as he's aged, you know, it's kind of caught up to him. And people have always said about Bosa, and this year he did get a little banged up. So yeah. Hopefully it's not a sign of things to come. We'll have to see. At 27 years old, though, he's going to stay. You know, I think this was a down year. I think he's going to get back up this next year, assuming he can, like I said, stay healthy. I think he's got some more good seasons in him for sure. Ugh, Montez Sweat. Yeah, bro. Talk to him. Yeah. That was sad.
Yeah, it sucked, and a lot. I blame the Bears. I don't even blame Montez Sweat.
When he got traded there originally, he kind of popped off with the Bears for a couple of weeks last year, and then this year, he was like a ghost. It's like he wasn't there. It's like he didn't exist.
He was probably Team Fields, is what
he was doing his best Chase Young impression.
Oh man! All right, here was someone I felt like. Zach Sealer, however the fuck you say his name. He was one of those guys who was like a free agent darling because I remember like picking him up just a couple times like off the scrap, and he's always picked up and dropped. Like it was like people would pick him up for like 1 or 2 weeks and then just drop him, and that was it. Especially, he got hurt in week 8 and week 9, but he just looked down the stretch and it was like nothing but double-digit games like just from after he comes back from injury in week 10. He had 13, 17, 21, 8. 25, 16, 17. And then he screwed you in the championship week if you played him with only 4 points.
Yeah, like you said, dropped. It seems like defensive tackles are the guys at DL that are dropped and picked up a lot more often than defensive ends traditionally. You know, Cameron Hayward, we were talking about him off the waiver wire. Zach Allen, Siler. Because they're a little harder to rely on, but man, the good guy that Zach Siler came through again this year, and it's his second year in a row that he's been pretty fantasy relevant. Just a slight dip in production this year from last year, but he also played two fewer games. So he set the bar for somebody to definitely keep an eye on this next year. Like you said, if you go that zero DL or late round defensive line player, he's somebody to target because we have 2 years now, consistent coaching, consistent kind of production from him. And it's, you know, again, you could do a lot worse. Probably not going to be carrying your team, but if you're patching things together with defensive line, generally that means you have good to great players at other positions. So you're going to be okay. You know what I mean? You don't need great, you just need good.
Yeah. And if you're going into if you're leaving your draft and he's like your DL3 or DL4 and you only got to start two of them, you should be feeling good about yourself. And totally pitted. Snoochie Boochies, what up? All right. Let's see. We're getting close. We are getting close to 20. And, how about
Kyle Van Noy, old man.
Dude, 33. He's not him and Cam Hayward. They're the senior citizens on this list. And he had, like, this stretch of real shitty weeks. And I remember him being dropped a lot.
He started strong and finished strong, but right in the middle, he really didn't do much for you.
And it's because he's old. Like, that's really what it is. He's old.
Simmons is old.
But this carried you down the stretch. If you picked him up and, like, rode him into the playoffs after that bye in week 14, he had 14, 24, and 15. Like, that was really solid down the stretch.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, coming off of a couple of not great years, but. Like you said, if you were watching the waivers, seems like these old guys are always kind of just floating around out there.
Yeah, and probably not going to be drafted in a lot of leagues, or redraft. If it's a dynasty, someone you're probably drafting in the 30s, like just super late, like just getting for nothing, like as depth on your.
Yep, just to fill a roster spot, knowing that if something better comes along, you can probably cut him.
All right, we are almost to number 20, and it just seems like it just keeps getting a little bit sketchier and sketchier. Jonathan Cooper now, who was really solid for a lot of games as well, like another guy who I just remember like being dropped and added like all the time, and I know I added him and dropped him a few times, and if you kept him around through week 17, 20 points in week 17, and 10 and a half sacks for the season. It's not too shabby, and he was over 200 points.
Yeah, 58 tackles this year, 70 last year. So, you know, that's an average of about 60 or, you know, 65 for the season each year. That alone is pretty good. And again, look, it's another one of these Denver guys. So he actually kind of intrigues me. I think they're really pulling together or putting together something kind of disruptive and kind of interesting there. And, you know, it makes me wonder if this next year he won't be dropped as much as he will be added. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, because that's three. I mean, two of them are the D linemen with Zach Allen and Jonathan Cooper, and then Nick Benito. He's the hybrid linebacker D line. But that three out of the top 20, I don't think we've seen. Have we seen another team that had two? I'm sure we have, but
we saw two with Watt and Hayward. I think that's it.
Yeah.
But yeah, also stays healthy. I mean, 17 games each of the last two seasons.
Yeah, that's big time. And so we're almost there. So this is 19 and 20. And here we go. Simmons
is old.
But only 27. It's funny, out of all these guys, like, he's one of the young guys. Seems like he's been playing for like 20 years already. Another guy who, I mean, you're literally like, could be a waiver wire guy, even in some of the deepest of dynasty leagues. Like, there's not even much to say about him. Like, he had a little stretch where he was getting double digits, like, all the time. And week 17, he fucked you. Only got 9 points. I mean, that's not really screwing you. But there was a lot of weeks here where, let me see where it starts. Week 8 through week 16, where he had double-digit points throughout that whole stretch. So he was a waiver wire darling for the DLs for a little stretch of the season.
Yeah, and he's been rock solid through his whole career so far, you know, when he's been healthy. And 27 years old, you know, somebody that you can count on. I wouldn't drop him. You know, we were talking about some of the other older guys. He's the kind of guy that might get picked up. Keep him on your bench and, you know, fill him in when you need to fill him in. You know, the defensive line, these guys do get banged up. You know, the nice thing about these interior guys is they seem to be a little more stout sometimes on the edges. So keep him around. You know, he might not completely blow up 1 week. I didn't see very much. I think his highest game was like 21, 24. But plenty of games in that 14, 15, 16 range. That's great. You know what I mean? And the floor, what, 5? There's, you know, you could do a lot worse.
Yeah, he only had 2 games over 20 points. But yeah, 16, 13, 14, 16, 14, 11, 19. I mean, that's a lot of consistency.
Yeah, that's sure. That's somebody you're going to want to leave in your lineup more often than take out.
Yeah, and what Johnny says, his beard looks like a jack-o'-lantern smile, and I can't unsee it now.
Yeah.
It does. Papa Jay said, salute Hess, dropping the IDP heat already. Hell yeah, man. We got to get people ready to go. Because especially with the ADPs in these startups, like, it sucks. Like, we got to be on point with who we really want. Because, yeah, the ADP is hella wonky. DL20. And the last guy, over 200 points for the defensive lineman. Probably drafted number one IDP player in most of your leagues. It's not going to be the case this year. Micah Parsons. Let's see how many games he actually missed. 1, 2, 3, 4. He missed 4 games. I mean, I thought he missed more than that.
Still had 12 sacks.
Yeah. But only 43 tackles.
Yeah, tackle number is pretty weak. Sack number is decent. Cowboys, man.
And he dropped, over 20 tackles, you know, from the last couple years and missing 4 games. I mean, I don't know. He's dead. I guess if we average it out, maybe it's close to like 5 tackles a game. So maybe like that math like makes sense or whatever. But I feel like that's just down in average. He's not going to get paid how he wants because he needs to rack up like 20 plus sacks because he wants the top end DL money. That's really what it is. And so he's going after the quarterback like nobody's business, but that's also making him score less if he doesn't play 17 games.
Yeah. I think, you know, I still think he's one of the better pass rushers in the league and still one of the better IDP options just because, you know, I don't love the Cowboys, but the sack numbers have been pretty consistent. The tackles vary. He's had high tackle number seasons. He's had lower ones. But he's at least shown that he can be versatile on the field. You know, he came in as an off-ball linebacker, which is a position that the Cowboys have struggled with for a while now, it feels like. But like you said, I don't know if he's going to get paid like he wants to. Because I can't really think of like a signature, like any real signature plays for him. And that's one of those things where it sucks for the Cowboys right now, for him especially, because they've been so irrelevant, you know. And so it's like, even when you get a sack on field, it's like, who cares? You know what I mean? It's like you're in a losing season, your team's not doing well. you sacked, you know, Mason Rudolph from the Titans in week 14, like nobody cares. It's, you know, it's really unfortunate that that's happening to him right now at 24, 25 years old. But the Cowboys, they are just not a team that actually wins football games. So that sucks when you're a winning player and you're on a losing team.
Yeah. And Giants said, I don't think I have a single share of Parsons. Me neither, because I've never, I mean, every single year, like I just keep telling everybody, avoid Parsons, avoid Parsons. You have to draft him as like the number one IDP. You'll be lucky if he finishes as the number one DL, let alone the number one IDP. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what position. If you have to overpay for someone who we already know isn't going to finish as like top
number tier, one,
like why, you know, I'm just, yep. I'm passing. I don't want the risk. Like,
yeah, it doesn't matter. Exactly. That's you make the perfect point for him. We know he's going to be pretty good, but we also know he's not going to be number one. So why would we draft him as number one or number two? You know what I mean? Like, that just doesn't make sense. Like, look at his, I mean, 2023, 265, the year before that, 270 something. You know, and that's what we just said was a down year for TJ Watt. You know, I mean, and Parsons has hit 300 before his rookie season, you know, but he's trending,
his chart is going the wrong way.
He's trending the wrong way right now. We know he can hit 300, but it's been so long since he's done it. You can't responsibly draft him thinking or projecting him for 300 right now.
And if he would have played, you know, 16, 17 games, yeah, he probably does, you know, get the upswing going, but it didn't happen yet. So, like, he still has to do that to, like, make it where it's coming back up, because right now this is four seasons in a row of him dropping in
fantasy
production.
Yep. And even if he would have played all 16 or 17 games this year, like you said, just averaging out, he probably would have scored right around 260, 270. So, again, that's really, really good. But it's still Kelly, not 300.
As much shit as we're talking, no, don't drop him. He's someone who, if I have a Cowboy 49er, you know, like there's a couple teams where, you know, the fans are so diehard. Well, I'm trying to sell to those players or those guys, those managers, to get them to overpay a little bit to get the superstar of whatever team that they cheer for. And those are the those players, those managers, those Cowboy managers, maybe not Derek, maybe not Crispy, but some of these, you know, they will pay up, and I'm going to make them pay for it. You have no reason to sell them cheap, and definitely don't drop.
Yeah, that's the smart move with guys, like you said, like Parsons. I'm actually trying to do that right now with A.J. Brown in a league because we have a new guy who picked up an orphan team, and he's an Eagles fan. So I'm like, well, it's time, you know, it's time to cash in. I've had A.J. Brown on the team since I drafted the team. But you know what? If somebody's going to give me more than he's worth, or I think they might, for the first time ever, he's available.
And see, look at that. Giants said I have Parsons. He's an auto start, but goes way too early to ever take him in a startup. Yeah, for sure. And yeah, and seeing that sucks. And like, yeah, he's an auto start. And then let's go. Like, let's even look, like, how many games he fluked you. So, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I guess that's only 5 games.
Yeah, but one of those was a 1-point game. One of those was a 2-point game. And one and of them was, like, four. A 5-point game.
Yeah, he missed 4 games. So, for counting those games, I mean.
You those know, are all right. Zeros.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and the week 18, like if you guys are counting that, I mean, if you play week 18, you know, golf clap for you, but most of us don't, so that 29 points doesn't mean shit.
Kelly, all right, since this is our last guy, let's do a thought experiment. Who would you rather have, Nick Bosa or Micah Parsons? Both of them coming off a kind of a down season. Both of them coming off a season where they did get hurt a little bit. Both of them coming off seasons where their epic franchises were definitely shitting the bed pretty much from week one on. So is that, you know, who do you think has the better chance to kind of rise again?
I'm saying Micah, because I think that their offense stays somewhat in the shitter and their defense kind of doesn't take any kind of step forward. I don't know if the 49ers are going to take a step forward, but I just feel like this injury of what we've seen from Micah Parsons, maybe it was a little bit fluky, and I feel like Nick Bosa, like, he goes and he probably sees his brother Joey once or twice a year, whether it's Christmas or Thanksgiving or something. And I know there's bad juju from Joey Bosa is just like rubbing off on him somehow. So like just from his lineage and like being linked to Joey Bosa, that's another reason why I would take Micah Parsons over Nick.
All right. That's fair. I think I agree with you there too. I think I'd rather have Parsons than Nick Bosa. I'm interested to see kind of how their ADP ends up shaking out this season. Right. Because Nick Bosa has been that guy for a while. I mean, he's been kind of near the top of the draft board for a minute. I wonder whose dip is going to affect their stock the most, I guess is the way to say it.
Yeah. Is the Parsons experiment over? Like that's, yeah, a lot of people are drafting him really high for a lot of years. And is this the year that the people are finally just a little bit pissed off with him? I feel like he's getting drafted no lower than top 10 IDP.
No, he'll still get drafted high because, you know, in a down year, he still put up 200 points. I mean, you could spin it however you want. But there's some guys that we didn't talk about that I quickly want to kind of touch on. Josh Allen, Hines. Yeah. I don't know how he hyphenates it. We didn't talk about him. He had a pretty big drop off in points per game this year from last year. I know a lot of people last year were like, oh my God, he's so incredible. And I was like, he's okay. I don't know. This might be a little mirage. He came back down to earth this year. Went from 0.34 points per game or snap to 0.2, which is pretty big drop. And 0.2 is like barely startable, basically, in my opinion.
Yeah, and if you get more – if Trayvon Walker scores more points than you, you know something's wrong.
Yeah, bingo. other guys we didn't talk about was who just got paid, Max Crosby. He went out this season with that, I think it was a back injury. Was it like week 7 or week 14?
Yeah.
It was just late enough in the season where he still helped you win quite a bit of fantasy, you know, still helped you a lot this season, but it was late enough or early enough to where he didn't make the top 20 still.
Yeah.
But he just got paid. They just reworked his contract today. So
he doesn't want to be traded. So
he's going to be there. Yeah. He wants to be a Raider. Raider till he dies. And one other guy we didn't talk about because he got injured was Aiden Hutchinson as well.
Yeah. Who,
before he got hurt the first 5 weeks of the season, I mean, he was lapping the rest of the DL field. Like Trey Hendrickson, I mean, he was deucing them, you know, a la Tyreek Hill 2020 style. Like, just running circles around these guys. I mean, he was having a crazy season before he got hurt. It's almost unreal. I think he still had – I don't – just go look. It's kind of blows your mind. I don't know if he had, like, 11 sacks or 7, but he basically had, like, a sack and some change a game. He had multiple pass deflections, multiple force. I mean, he was absolutely wrecking people.
7.5 sacks.
In 5 games. So that's over a sack a game.
And he got hurt in that game, right? Like,
yeah. So, I mean, he would have 100%, if he had stayed healthy, 100% would have been defensive player of the year. Like, they couldn't even work Myles Garrett, who they basically choke on his balls. They couldn't choke him into it this year. And, I mean, Aiden Hutchinson was going to make him. He was making TJ. He made them all look like idiots. I was looking at points per game. I think like Trey Hendrickson and TJ Watt were like this year, like 15 points per game and 1-2-3 scoring. And Aiden Hutchinson was 20, like 20 point something.
Yeah.
Five whole points more per game. That's a whole tier. So he was special this year.
Yeah.
I know he's coming off the injury this next year, and I know it was a pretty bad one, but man, he got hurt early. I think, you know, they talked about that they might play him in the postseason. You know, he was going to play in the Super Bowl. So he's healthy enough to at least play. I think if somebody, you know, if somebody's worried about his injury, this might be the last chance you get to buy him without paying, you know, buying somebody a new home, basically.
Yeah. So, I'm even trying
to forget about Aiden Hutchinson.
Yeah, because and actually I totally missed Aiden Hutchinson on here. He was the second IDP player off the board.
Okay.
So the same
somebody guy. In that league. So you're playing with some sharps, huh?
So the same guy, our man Todd T. Mill, he goes IDP back to back and gets Zaire Franklin, Aiden Hutchinson as his top two in round 10 and round 11.
That's strong, man. I mean, that's a strong, you know, in the teens to get guys that are basically locked in as ones. Maybe, you know, if they have down year, maybe Zaire Franklin's like linebacker 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Still, like, locked in, set and forget. That's a dream right there. Set and forget. Get to watch football, don't have to stress.
Yeah, and I hope in some of these startups that Aiden Hutchinson does get forgot about, you know, before the IDP. Well, I guess the ADP, it was already caught up to him. Like, he's already high in the ADP. So I guess that's the one thing.
Just keep an open eye out, because I think some people are – I think the discourse, if he's high now, the discourse will be, you know, risky, and it'll slowly come down, I think. We'll see, though. Maybe that's just wishful thinking.
TJ said T. Mill's a full-blown addict. Yes, he he is. It's funny because it's like, yeah, I'm the one hosting these leagues and, you know, getting them all up and going and everything. He wants them to fill more than I do because he wants to draft, like, so much. So it's hilarious. And, yeah, he said he's ready to kick ass. Hey, Podson, what up? He said, what up, Huss? He said, I know Jordan from the what? The Quirky's Rug, never buying an NFT ever.
Yeah, that was a wild 6 months of just losing all my fake internet money.
Yeah, the fucking, it sucks. Like, I hate that most of this shit has been a scam the entire time. And, like, we want to buy into it because we think,
it's
like...
It's wild, too, because, like, there's so many things that could be so cool and so, like, neat. But it's like, nah, just, we're just going to scam you. We're going to give you dog shit. We're going to make you pay for gold. And...
I wonder... So, you remember, like, when DraftKings was doing the NFTs? Like...
Shit is still going on. The NFL still has like an NFT type DFS thing. I mean, it's wild.
Like the people,
and it is all like, it's like Trump coin. It's just bullshit.
The ultra rare, like Tom Brady one of one for like $100,000. Like, I remember that. And like
all that shit is
people are buying the $10,000 ones and turning around and trying to sell it for $100,000. Like,
it's just the next day. It could have been stuff could be cool, could have been cool, but a lot of it just, like I said, a lot of shitty people just took their, grabbed the money and ran.
Yeah. And Giant said, if I'm flush with talent, I don't want to disperse an asset. If I'm a top heavy, I would go for an extra asset year for a 3-year option. I don't remember what we were. I don't even know where that came from. It's probably a question in the chat.
Khalil Mack.
Yeah, Derek Khalil Mack. He fucking sucks, man, because like he's the exact guy that I don't want. Like 70 points in 1 week, and then like 6 weeks of like single-digit points, and then like 30 points when he plays the Raiders like on Sunday Night Football, and then like another 5 weeks of like 3 points. I hate it.
Yeah, he had a nice run there for a while.
Derek loved that 70-point game because he had him in best ball either way. It's the only place he said he had him. So he gets his best games either way out of him when it's best ball. Stick to the three precious metals. Three precious metals, guns, and land. Only three things that will always go.
Yeah.
I got to add one in the mix. Legos, man. Legos are like...
Are Legos the thing?
Dude, Legos appreciate more than like a lot of these stocks. Like I remember right before I came... to Vegas, you know that show Stranger Things on Netflix? They have this crazy Lego house where it's like this cool, like the upside down house. I don't even watch the show. I could just tell that this set was going to be super dope. And it was retiring, and it's a $200 set. And I dropped $600. I bought three of them. And then like it retired like at the end of that year. And then like about a year and a half out of it being retired, they're worth like $500 each. And it's not always like that, but if you know when these sets are going to retire, like one of the sets that's going to retire this year is the Back to the Future, like DeLorean time machine. They're like $200 from Lego, but I know that like you can get them from like Amazon for like $160 and Walmart for $160. Like these are ones like when it retires at the end of the year, give it like 6 months to a year and it's going to be selling for like double.
Dang, nice. Well, yeah, that's good.
People are addicted to Legos. It's like the most popular like toy like in the world. And like,
well, yeah, when I was a kid, we played with hell Legos. I had still at my house where I grew up, we have a whole suitcase full of Legos. We had this giant airport set that my uncle from the Netherlands brought us, me and my brother, in like 1999. And it was like thousands and thousands of pieces. And my mom was like, oh, I mean, it's probably worth so much money. But I mean, we're sure we lost all the pieces by now. But I know there's a suitcase at the house that's got a lot of them in it.
So there's this one. It's a Batman one from Batman Returns. And it's like this whole huge mock-up of like the Batcave, and there's a Batmobile and all types of shit. It's like, it was a $400 set, and I like cashed in all my Lego points to like get it. I paid like $100 cash, and I had like 300 in these points, and it just retired in the end of 2024. It's going for like 750 to 800 bucks like right now. So like,
this sounds like it's even better than Pokemon cards. I know a lot of people are into Pokemon cards right now.
I think you had to have the super, like if you had it when we were growing up, like if you had those ones, like those are the ones that whoever that scumbag was who like ended up like screwing people over, like talked about like selling his collection for like $5 million or whatever. It was all the fucking cards from like 2000 and you know. All
yeah, like the original booster packs, which I had a whole bunch of those. I'm sure they're all, maybe they're in the Lego suitcase. Let me go home and check that.
Oh, yeah,
around my parents' house.
People are addicted to those cards. And yeah, like even just the sports cards, like in general, like we've got a whole wall of these sports cards. We're going to let them appreciate for a little bit longer. And then, maybe do some box breaks or, you know, something.
I don't know how to value them. My son's got all kinds of sports cards and Pokemon cards, and he'll be like, oh, this is worth this and that. And I'm like, I'll just trust you on that, bro.
I mean, there's all these apps now that you can get where it's like, you know, I mean, based on,
well, for them to actually be worth anything, don't you essentially have to send them off to be graded? Isn't that like a huge part of it?
Well, that's a huge part of it. Like, you know, if you get ones that are worth thousands of dollars, like, yeah. But, you know, I mean, there's a bunch. It just depends on what kind of market you're in, too, because like there's a lot of people who they'll get these cards and, you know, you get a whole pack for $30. You have one card that's worth 15 or 20 bucks. They might sell it for that 15 or 20 bucks versus sending it off and getting it graded and paying for all that and not getting the grade that you want. I mean, I feel like that's a big part of like this whole waiting game and disappointment.
Well, I was going to say, I feel like that whole, the whole concept of that is kind of scammy in general.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I send off a perfect card and it comes back with an imperfect grade.
Yeah.
Like, how did that happen? What did I do wrong? Who did I not give enough money to?
Exactly. Like, I mean, I see the different like trade shows that go on here in Vegas, like these big ones, like seems like that would be the place to do it. Like if you're actually able to go there, even if you're paying a premium amount, like, but to get it like graded, like on the spot, that seems like way more worth it than fucking putting something in the mail. All these things that can happen in the mail before it even makes it to get graded. And then you still got to wait for it to get graded. You got to wait for it to get back. And like a whole huge waiting game of shit.
Yeah. That would be way easier to do like at a trade show like that for sure.
Like TJ, grading helps, but when the Jordan rookie is not the most valuable card, there's something way wrong. Yeah, definitely. There's it's crazy with like the football cards, because like everything, it's like cards are like almost like fantasy football to like these guys. Like how, like everything goes with like the value of like how the players are doing in real life. And I know guys like Brock Purdy, I mean, people were just like creaming in their pants to get a rookie like Brock Purdy card because like, you know, just of anything of what he could be. And then like,
the Staggers.
And now it's like, which way? It could go up. It could go down.
Yeah, so I got a buddy. I got a guy that I know who has a shit ton of rookie Tua everything. And he's like, yeah, not looking so good. He's I should have got a bunch of rookie Hurts stuff instead.
I mean, like, you never know.
Never. We learned that. We didn't know that 5 years ago.
Right? All right. Man, so we got through the linebackers, we got through the DBs, now we made it through the DLs, and I don't even know if we're, like, when we're going to be talking about rookies, probably, little bit more towards like the draft. I know we're going to be doing some best ball live drafts. So starting this week, I'm going to be posting it on Patreon here. It's $10 or $11 entry, depending on how you send the money. And it's 10 starters on offense, 5 IDP flexes. Last year, we had 142 divisions in. So we're going to try to match that this year. We're going to be starting an offense-only best ball tourney as well, just to try to see. I know there's a bunch of people who are just scared, even though it's 5 IDPs. I know there's people who are scared. So it's going to be the exact same buy-in. A lot of times the drafts are going to be starting on the same day, about an hour and a half apart. So people have the chance to jump in both if they want. But it's going to be super fun, man. Lots of money going to be at stake. And no, King D, not doing any box breaks just yet. We're gonna let these cards appreciate for a little bit. I know I need to buy some more cards, too. I still have a few bucks to do that with. So I'm going to try to get more. I guess we just got to figure out the right time to do it as well. All right. And before we get out of here, Jordan, what do you got to tell the peeps? Anything going on?
Man, not much. Just follow me on Twitter at the IDP Army. You can subscribe to the YouTube channel, which I should be putting my first new video on there in a while. Sometime in the next 2 or 3 weeks. Like I said, I'm not rushing it on this. You know, it's IDP content. I want to make sure that I have done all my research and, you know, kind of know what I want to say about the players. I want to say it. So you can follow that. That's at All Fantasy Football on the YouTube channel. And yeah, just keep tuning in here. Also, I'm going to try to talk or answer more questions on the Facebook group. I don't know if you guys ever plugged that on here or not, but there's always questions and conversations going on there about different players, different market values, different league stuff. So I like chopping it up with people. So I'll try to answer questions and stuff on there too.
Hell yeah. And what Chris would say, I play with ancient sticks and rocks. I'll be putting those on Amazon soon. I'll give you guys first shots at them. You're savage, Crispy. All right. We'll see you guys next time. And we are going to be getting into more live streams as the best ball drafts start. I mean, coming live for the drafts, it's always fun getting the draft grades in as well. So be on the lookout for that. If you guys aren't on Patreon, go get over there. It's 420crew.com. You can join as a free member. You can join as a paid member. You get a lot of perks for being a paid member. So just go look and see what you get for being a paid member. It's all listed out on there. But you want to get on there one way or the other because that's where you're going to be in the loop for all these leagues and everything going down. So get over there, 420crew.com. See you guys later. Peace out.
Defense on me.
I don't want them to gain another yard.
You blitz all night. If they cross the line of scrimmage, I'm going to take every last one of you out. You make sure they remember forever the night they played the Titans.